and now Evangelist David Shannon.
If you will open your Bibles to James, the fourth chapter. James, the fourth chapter. In James, the third chapter, the way it ends is such a contrast to the way the fourth chapter begins. It's kind of interesting. The latter part of James, the third chapter, is what we studied last week, and we looked at how the wisdom of God is so much different from the wisdom of the world. Notice the last two verses of the third chapter. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now notice the next verse. From whence come wars and fightings among you? It is amazing how James moves from one subject to another so very quickly. But it's very interesting. He keeps our attention in doing so. Notice this verse. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Have you ever thought that when we give in to sin, it is because of our decision to give in to sin? There's no one here this evening who has ever been forced to sin. Now, all of us here that have reached an accountable age have sinned. But yet no one forced any of us to sin. Here he begins the first verse by talking about our own lust. And he says it creates fighting, it creates wars. Turn over a few pages, if you will, to 1 Peter the second chapter. 1 Peter the second chapter helps us to realize exactly what James is saying in the 11th verse. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. Why, Peter? Which war against the soul. The lust of our own desires and putting those before God, war against our soul. The truth is, we can have an internal civil war within our soul. Notice also, as we turn over a few pages to 2 Peter, the second chapter, in verse 1. 2 Peter 2:1. Here we read about some false prophets. But notice the damage that was done by these false prophets. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now where did the destruction come from? He warns them. He says, you're going to bring it upon yourselves. You bring in these false teachers, you're going to bring upon yourselves destruction. Why? Because you accept their teachings that destroyed their soul. How we need to beware is James begins this fourth chapter speaking about the lust that creates wars and fightings. Much of that war and fighting can be internal. We need to beware. The truth is, we can commit spiritual suicide very easily. It's not a pleasant thing. Notice verse 3, what makes spiritual suicide so unpleasant? Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss. Have you ever felt like that the Lord just isn't answering your prayers? If we are guilty of verse 1, the truth is, God is not answering our prayers as we want Him to answer. Why? Notice the latter part of verse 3. That ye may consume it upon your lust. The truth is, James says, those of us that are entangled into our own lust and we've committed spiritual suicide, when we pray to God, we ask God to help fulfill our lust. And he says, he doesn't answer that the way we want it, because we are totally off base with our request to God. Notice verse 4. James always helps us out with an example. He always gives us an illustration to draw clear what he wants to make his point to be known. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. enmity, deep-seated dislike, and ill will towards. So he gives us that example, and he says, let me tell you a couple examples of the ones I'm speaking of. And he says it's the adulterers and adulteresses. And he says they have a friendship with the world and God dislikes it. It is a deep-seated dislike that God has against those that are friends with the world. And then to make it even more clear and emphasize it again, he says, as a matter of fact, in plain English, you're an enemy of God if we're involved in these particular actions. How we need to beware that we do not stir up this strife within our soul. Our soul is designed by God to serve God. Once we allow that soul to not serve God as it should, we have created a warfare within ourselves. And that warfare will cause us to pray amiss, and it will cause us to be friends of the world when we should be friends with God. But thank the Lord that the fourth chapter does not end there. That's enough about the negative. James says, let's talk about how to correct it. Let's talk about a beautiful life that's beyond this. Notice with me verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. So if we wanted to number these positive things this afternoon, James would say, you want to correct yourself from this spiritual suicide? You want to correct yourself from this lust? He says, submit to God. Now that sounds simple, doesn't it? It's not easy, but it does sound simple. Submit to God. There comes a time when we have to do away with the pride of self. We want to feel self-desires, but God says, humble ourselves. Now this humility is not just the humility that we sometimes think of as just the opposite of boasting. It's not the humility where we say, well, I haven't bragged on myself in 2 weeks. I'm very humble now. The humility that's being spoken of here is the humility that gives up self's desires first. So no longer am I out to gain what's best for me, but I'm out to serve the Lord, submit myself to God. Notice the second thing he says we must do in the middle of verse 7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Brethren, we must say no to Satan. We must resist him. Too often times we want to talk ourselves into believing that really we've been overcome by Satan. That it was a force we could not help. I just one day woke up in this state of sin and I didn't want to be in it. And I wish I could get out of it, but I can't. That's not what James is saying here. James says it's our decision. We either decide to submit to God and resist Satan, or we decide to go along with Satan and resist God. The beautiful part of this is in his closing remark there. Resist Satan, and he will flee from you. You know, I remember just as a small child, maybe 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, I remember thinking about this verse so oftentimes and finding comfort in that verse. I remember when maybe the peer pressure was tough, and that would go through my mind. If I just resist right now, Satan will flee from me. And even though you say, well, that's kind of a neat childish thought, the truth is it'll work for any of us. It'll work for us as adults. Think of how it worked for Jesus. We see there in Matthew the 4th chapter that He withstood the temptation. Satan stood there and for 2 or 3 or 4 times He tempted Him. But then finally, He fled from Him. Today, Satan is not going to stop as long as we continue to serve Him. It's almost like supply and demand. Once we cut off the supply, the demand's gone, so Satan will leave. We need to resist. Notice the third point that he makes about the positive things in verse 8. I find a lot of comfort in this one. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Have you ever tried to get to know someone that they didn't want you to get to know them? You do something for them, and it seems like the more you do to get to know them, the more you speak with them, the more they push you away. Is that the way you think of God? Or do you think of God as someone, the more I pray to Him, the closer I feel that I am to Him? The more I study His Word, the closer I am to Him. The more I serve Him, the closer I am to Him. That's a promise from James. Draw nigh to God, and He's not going to push us away. He's not going to say, stop reading about me so much. Stop praying to me so much. He wants us to draw nigh to Him. But now the decision is ours. He cannot, think about it, He cannot draw closer to us than we draw to Him. So we must draw nigh to Him for Him to draw nigh to us. Notice the fourth. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Now James has spoken much about the present man up until now. He has spoken about how the present man needs to submit to God, how the present man needs to resist Satan, how the present man needs to draw nigh to God so God can draw nigh to him. But now he says, cleanse your hands. You have sin in your past? Don't carry that sin along with you. Cleanse your hands. Notice the next one. He goes right along with it. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know what concerns me very oftentimes in the church? Some have the notion that repentance, after becoming a Christian, repentance is simply stopping doing whatever was wrong. Don't worry about asking God's forgiveness for what you were doing wrong. Don't worry about purifying your heart, cleansing your hands. Just stop doing it at that moment and don't ever do it again. Now this side of it is good. Stop doing it and don't do it again. But what about the past? Is there anyone here tonight that's doing good now, but yet we haven't cleaned our past? We haven't asked God's forgiveness for the times in the past that we've strayed? I believe James was not only trying to approach the present man at this time, but he wanted them to think back. Was there ever a time that you were following your own lust and yet you didn't purify those ways in the past? You didn't ask God's forgiveness. Notice verse 9. Now verse 9 is kind of an interruption here. He's been kind of given list after list of the positive ways, and now it's almost like it's in the Sermon on the Mount where he says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. This is James' version of that. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Now some would say, wait a minute, I think that's just the opposite of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitude. Think about it this way. Be afflicted. Mourn. Weep. Who? The ones he's addressing here that are experiencing the spiritual suicide. He says, don't walk around in laughter, laughing at your sin. Have we ever seen anyone in the world do that? Of course. There's many in the world that do not know better. They find joy, they find pride in their sin, and they walk around laughing at their sin. And James says, you should be afflicted. You should be heavy, is maybe a better translation. You should be heavy in your sin. You should be mourning. You should be weeping. And as he closes there, your joy should be turning to heaviness. This same heaviness is probably best described to us in Luke when the publican would not even lift up his eyes into heaven but smote upon his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the heaviness that James speaks of here that sinners should have. But verse 10, and this will be our close this evening. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Humble. Giving up of oneself first, but not just to someone else or to another evil work, but giving up of oneself in the sight of the Lord, being approved by God. Now notice this great contrast. and He will lift you up. A spiritual resurrection. Now, what was the first verse? It was the wars. It was the fightings. Because of the internal warfare, the spiritual man had committed suicide. So James begins in the fourth chapter by saying, we have those spiritually dead. He says their prayers aren't being answered because they ask amiss. He also tells us a few examples of who those are. They're adulterers. They're the ones that's friends with the world. And then he gives us the way to be resurrected. This evening, where do you stand? This evening, if you look at your life in an honest eyes, do you see your soul as if it's at war because it's not satisfied with its condition? Or do you see yourself being lifted up by God because you've humbled yourself in the sight of God? This evening, if you're not a child of God, please humble yourself. Obey His commands. If you become a child of God, but yet somewhere along the way you've fallen away, purify your hearts. Cleanse your hands as we stand, as we sing.